So let's talk about growing a healthy team, because we've really talked a lot about becoming a healthy leader. We talked about what it means to multiply, you know, that the focus is on multiplying yourself as a leader. Now we need to talk about what it actually looks like when you have a team and how to get a team and how to grow a healthy team. And so, of course, this is not going to be all-encompassing because, I mean, we could go on and on and on with all of these topics. But we're going to start here. So when I first started TFI, literally it was a Facebook page. You know, it was just like a way to meet needs in my community. I put it out there, first time I'd ever made a Facebook page before, and would hear needs from the agency workers, and then I would put it out there, and then someone would say, I can get that bed, and I'd say, okay, here you go. And so I started to learn those needs, I started to share those needs, and people just started coming on and on, and it was super exciting. I was connecting people to those needs, but it very quickly grew, not even locally, it just very quickly grew. There was all kinds of needs, and I'm telling agencies, dream big, and they're giving me needs, and I'm putting it out there, and people are meeting the needs, and it's just like, let's go. But it wasn't long before I was very easily, or not even long, I became very easily consumed by everything that was going on. I was always checking the Facebook page. Okay, gotta meet that need, gotta do it right now. It's immediate, gotta get it done. It was exciting, I felt needed, I felt useful, and everything felt like an immediate priority. We gotta get that bed now, we gotta go now, it's gotta go now. Everything's emergency, everything's immediate. Fortunately, God brought me a teammate along during that season, and for that season, where she was able to bring a little more organization to the chaos of where I was at and where things were at. Just wanna make sure this is on. And so as the ministry grew, you know, so did my team, and things changed. Different people came, different people went, but I've learned a lot, I'm still learning a lot, and I will continue to learn a lot, but I've learned the importance of a team. So critical. There's absolutely no way there's any kind of sustainability if you're trying to do it all on your own. I also have learned the incredible challenge and pain that leading a team can be, the pain that can come from leading people. I had a friend who said, when I got into ministry, you know, you're going to see the church with her underwear on, and she ain't pretty. Sadly, that's true. I mean, we're people. There's some ugly things in ministry, right? There's some uncomfortable, and sometimes it just stinks. And sometimes it hurts a lot. I have been more vulnerable leading a team and have experienced maybe more emotional pain leading a team than in pretty much anything else. And yet, there's also been incredible victory, incredible joy, incredible, like, to watch God move in other people and see how, man, they do that so much better than I ever could. And we are so much better because they're here. And so it's awesome. It's been it. I've made mistakes. I have had some victories. I've had sleepless nights. I've had many difficult conversations, heartache. But like I said, incredible joy. So that's all real. Leadership is tough, and you're all leaders here. Leadership is messy. So it's something to be expected. There's going to be hard conversations. There's going to be stuff that's just not fun, okay? So we want our ministries to grow, though, right? We want more and more people to experience God's love. We need help, so we need people. And yet that can also become part of our biggest struggle is people. Sometimes it might feel easier just to do it on our own. And in some aspects, it is easier just to do it on your own, because you know yourself, but it's not going to be sustainable, and it's not where you need to be. You need to grow a team. You need to grow a team. You need a team. We're relational, okay? But you don't just need a warm body filling a seat, okay? Some of you are in a place where you have not been able, you feel like you're just team, you just can't grow, and you can't grow, and I just want to encourage you, just, it's okay. Doesn't mean you need a team now, right this second. I've seen over and over how God has used it in his timing to bring the right people along. And if we rush that process, it can be messy, and we don't want that, okay? It's not worth rushing the process because you want to get the right person on the bus, get on the right seat on the bus. It's like Jason said with the square peg and the round hole. But you don't want that. You want square peg and square. You want round peg and round, okay? So you want to find that person who fits not only the culture of TFI, which is huge, important, but also has the capabilities to help. And we're a volunteer-driven organization, and so you're just because you have volunteers doesn't mean we just settle and say, hey, you'll help, great. Now there's certain things maybe anyone can do, but to get your core team, you want to be selective. You want to be careful who's on that team. So here's some things we're going to cover in this message. Number one, how to recruit a coordinator. After Jason talked about recruiting, I wanted to go change the word recruit. But we want to how to recruit a coordinator, how to vet an interested volunteer, how to fire a volunteer, how to create a healthy team culture in your team. Healthy culture. It has a pause button up.
No, it's fine. Is it right up top?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so that's where we're going. Let's start with how to recruit a coordinator. And just like I said earlier, first off and foremost and throughout, it's about praying. It's about praying, God, show me what I need, who I need, when is the right timing. Because there's times you just feel like you just can't get movement, you can't move forward, and then all of a sudden it happens, and you find this person, and they come to you, and you're like, oh my goodness, like, they are the perfect person. And, or maybe there's a program that you want to get started, you want to do mentoring, you want to get it going, it's just not happening. That is a place you just trust. You trust God's timing, okay? He is in control. He knows this is not on your shoulders. This has nothing to do with your capabilities. This says nothing about your worth or your ability as a leader, how many team members you have, okay? This is just, you pray, you ask God for help, and you ask him to show you, and he will show up, and then the glory gets to go to him. And it's a beautiful thing when he shows up. The team I have right now in the local side of things came, I mean, they were not people I knew right away. They were, I mean, and they are perfect. And yet I've had people on that local team also where it wasn't, and that, not that they were even bad, but it was just like we were just stagnant for a while, okay? So there's just times in ministry that it's going, going, going. Sometimes it just feels stagnant, and just be okay with that. Trust God's timing. And then some things about recruiting. Know what you need. So this will just be something like writing it down, just like we did before. Write it down. Write down the things you love about your role as advocate and the things you feel like you're really good at and you can contribute. And then write down those areas that you're like, man, if we just had this, if there was that person I could call on for this, if whatever. What are those things that you're like, if I just? And think about those roles that you need. Those are going to be the roles that you need. And then you come up with those job descriptions. And this is where we would love to help you. You don't have to do any of this on your own. We can arrange strategy meetings. We can talk through all this. We can sit with you and walk through this with you and be your sounding board. We're here for you. So don't feel alone in this. But come up with roles and job descriptions just to help, because again, when you're recruiting and when you're telling people, you need to at least have an idea of what this role is going to look like, where, what kind of expectations you have for the role, all that sort of thing. Some of the things with recruiting you want to start with your connections. So maybe it's people in your churches. Put on Facebook, you know, looking for a first response coordinator. This person will do this, this, and this. We're looking, you know, give just a little highlight of it out on Facebook. Pass it along to your church partners. Ask them if they would share. Will you share this with your churches? Talk to your friends that you already, you know, you don't want to overburden friends, but at least let people know on Facebook. Let your friends know. It doesn't have to be just Facebook. Let people know the need. Just tell them. Make them aware. You don't have to beg them. You don't want to beg them. But just let them know, because maybe they'll know someone who can meet that need, fill that role. Also, think about the volunteers that have already served with you, the people that already are passionate about this community. Maybe they love those one-time projects. Maybe they love and they can only commit to that. But maybe they want to do more. And they just didn't know there was an opportunity to do more. They didn't realize there was an opportunity to get more involved. So just look around at what is already happening around you. Pray, ask for God to give you eyes to see, ask him to bring the right people, and trust his timing. The other thing that's really important is when you're talking to people about this, you want to be careful not to overpromise. So, hey, we're looking for this role. Would you pray about this? Because you don't necessarily want to say, would you be this? Because if they're like, yes, then you're like, oh, well, I need you to fill out the statement of faith. I need you to do, you know. So have them pray about it. Ask them if they consider it. And if they're interested, you can give them more information. But you really want to vet that volunteer. And you want them to have an opportunity to vet you, too, you know, to figure out where you are. Okay. So there's just a few things for recruiting. And as we talk about vetting, we'll get a little more into this. So looking at when you look for folks to be on your team, Patrick Lencioni, again, one of my favorite authors, because I feel like he's very big into organizational health, and he's able to just focus on how to make your organization, how do you focus on your people, and he's just great. So anyways, he says you look for people who are humble, hungry, and smart. You can go to that next one. So what does that mean? And I'm going to tell you. You can find more information about Patrick at www.thetablegroup.com. Tablegroup.com. Great resources. One of the things I'm going to give you is actually a hiring guide, an interview guide, some questions you can ask to help you determine if people are humble, hungry, and smart. Okay? And these just help you. Now let's find out what that actually means. To be humble, hungry, and smart. So, ideal team players who are humble. They lack excessive ego or concerns about status. Lack excessive ego or concerns about status. They are quick to point out the contributions of others. So it's someone who you're seeing always kind of elevating other people. They're slow to seek attention or for their own. They like to share the credit. They emphasize team over health, and they define success collectively. So you're going to see someone who is about other people, and you see it in the way that they talk. You see it in the way that they put themselves out on Facebook. You see it in the way, you know, in these questions that you're going to ask them. So for an example question, what is your greatest weakness? How do you handle apologies, either giving or accepting them? Can you tell me about someone who's better than you in an area that matters to you? And just so you know, all these things I'm listing are on this, so you're going to have this. So you don't have to feel like you have to jot down crazy fast. So that's humble. Hungry. Hungry people are always looking for more, okay? There's always more things to do and more things to learn. And they want more responsibility to take on. They're ready for it. Let's do this. They almost never have to be pushed by a manager to work harder because they are self-motivated and diligent. And they're constantly thinking about the next step and the next opportunity. Hungry people. So examples, what is the hardest you've ever worked at something in your life? What do you like to do when you're not working? These are some questions you would ask them and find out. What was your work ethic like as a teenager? I mean, these are all going to be questions that will give you an idea as they answer it. Well, how are they answering? Are they hungry, humble, or smart? Ideal team players are smart. Now, this isn't smart like in IQ, fortunately. This is people smart, okay? So they have a common sense about people. They tend to know what's happening in a group situation and how to deal with others in the most effective way. They just kind of can pick up on those people cues. They have good judgment and intuition around the subtleties of group dynamics and the impact of their words and actions. So just someone who is not overstepping those social bounds. They're people smart. They get people. They're intuitive, okay? So that's the smart. And Patrick says, not everyone's going to be strong in every aspect, like super strong, but he said you really want to look for people who have pieces of each of those three things, that you really shouldn't be bringing on people who only have two. Maybe they're not going to be as strong in one area, but they still have that, and they still have capabilities to grow in that, and you can see that in them. And again, we're talking about, this is a hiring guide, and it might feel like, well, why are we getting so intense on volunteers? But it's a big deal. This ministry is important, and it's hard. And so you need quality people. And you bring up people and say, listen, we're looking for this, and they respect that. They respect that. And if they don't, then they're not really the right person to have on your team. So let's talk about some tips to know how to figure out if they're hungry, humble, and smart. Not just the questions to ask, but more. So I think we have a slide on this. Okay, so here's just a few ways to bring on people to help you vet them and help them to also see. Number one, have them observe a meeting. So you're getting together with your team. Why are you laughing back there?
Stalk them.
Yeah.
Well, we're already doing that.
Oh, yeah, I was going to change the wording of that. But
it's a little creepy, but listen.
Let you all know, I have stalked every single one of your Facebook pages.
And you passed the test.
Yeah. Hope you enjoyed it.
Have them observe a meeting. So we start with, you know, you're meeting with your team. Would you just like to come and just kind of experience the team culture? No strings attached. Just come and listen, see kind of how we talk to each other, how things go. Just observe it. Just let you. It's a way also someone who's maybe afraid to commit, they can just come in and watch. And it just gives them a little bit of a idea on who you are and how you work together. Stalk their Facebook. I mean, people, what we put out on Facebook represents us. So, you know, it's an extension of yourself. And if I'm going to see stuff on there that I'm like, this is just not appropriate, or this is bad language, or this is, I mean, I'm not impressed. You know, so check out their Facebook, their pictures. How do they portray themselves on Facebook? Because that they're gonna be an extension of TFI representing, and so how are they portraying themselves? And obviously, if you're not a friend of them yet, you don't get to see everything, but you can see enough. I mean, that's a helpful, it's not the end all, it's helpful. Check them out. Require the completed app and statement of faith, you know, and that's something we ask that you do. But it's important, and it's a help to you. It's meant to be a help to you so that you can vet people. And we've had folks who wanted to be a mentor. I had someone who wanted to be a mentor, and I said, okay, that's great. Here's, just so you know, this is our application, this is our statement of faith, and all our mentors have to agree to that, you know, for us to move forward. And one girl just said, you know, couldn't sign the statement of faith. But it was like, she said, you know what? I love what you guys are doing. I can't completely be on board with this. But I'll still tell people about you. I mean, it was actually like, it vetted her out without me having to be like, nope, you're not here, you can't do this. And yet, she was very gracious about it too. But it's so important to me that we as TFI stay on mission, which is about bringing joy and purpose to the foster care community, which is about showing Jesus, that if we're bringing on people onto our core teams who aren't believers, that's not a good thing. It's gonna be too easy to drift off that mission, and I don't want that, and I know you don't want that either. Now, does that mean you can't have them serve in other ways? Absolutely not. There's plenty of ways for people to serve, but if we're talking core team here. Do an informal interview. You know, just say, let's get together. That's where, bring these questions. You know, just kind of, just talk with them. Have them ask you questions. Just be talking with them and let them know you are serious about your team. So, you know, they see that there's a process. I mean, as all of you guys have come on, our advocate process has gotten tougher to get on, and people have appreciated that. I mean, I just talked like with Ricardo, and I said, what do you think about the process? Always my question, what do you think about the process? He said, you know what, it was a lot more than I expected at first. He said, but it made me glad. I'm really glad that it was more, because it made me realize you care. We do. We care. We want quality. We want excellence. Share with them the level of commitment you're looking for. So, for example, in my area, in Bloomington, we meet every other week, me and my team, for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. We meet every other week. And I ask people to commit a year. And I say, obviously, we'd love it more, but I want them to know I'm not just saying, will you come help with a project? Like, I'm saying, I want you to commit. So I want you to know that up front. So we're gonna meet every other week, and I really need you to be at the meetings. You know, if you, so we have someone who was gonna potentially be on, but she was working full-time and she just couldn't make those meetings. And ultimately, that wasn't the only reason, but she just said, you know, it's just not the right timing. But you need that face-to-face. That's, we don't get that with each other, right? We have virtual, and it's, there's wonderful, we can still be benefited, but when you have your people, it's good to have that face-to-face time, to be close, connected. There's just something about the face-to-face. But be as clear about what you need as you know. And to add on to that, be honest about where you are as a team, okay? Listen, in Bloomington, I mean, we have gone through many iterations of team throughout the years. And this recently, we finally kind of hit a new stride again after about a year ago or so. And I told them when I brought on, when I talked to people who were interested, I said, I want you to know we're really, we're not completely organized as much as I'd like to be. We're just not. And if you're okay with that and willing to come along the journey with us, I want you there. But I just need you to know that it's not all, we don't have it all together. And letting people know that this is who we are and this is where we're at and this is where we want to go, but we want you to come along. It's good for people just to know where you're at, because you want them to, you don't want to trick them into coming either, that you have everything. We know exactly what role you need to be in. We know exactly, sometimes we don't, but we know we need help. So saying, you want to just come along the journey? can we do this together? Listen to the red flags. So don't be afraid not to invite them on your team. And that's very difficult, especially if they're really excited. But I have, for example, there's a gal in our area who, cross-country mom, friend of ours, said, I really want to get involved with TFI. I love what you're doing. She's so nice, wonderful. She's Mormon. So I know statement of faith, she's not going to, and though she might actually sign the statement of faith, because I know there's, so I'm like, okay. So I hooked her up with beautification team, because I knew that I wasn't going to invite her onto our leadership team, but I was like, she wants to serve, and I want to get her plugged in, and so here's an area I can plug her in. I would not hook her up as a mentor, or a family support, those life-to-life things, because you have to have that statement of faith, you have to be on those core beliefs, but I hooked her up as a beautification team, and she's excited, and it's great. And so, and now you have an opportunity to be planting seeds, you know. So obviously, with as we get people involved, we also want to draw people to the Lord, you know, through getting involved, through serving. So we just want to be careful with how we get them involved. Another thing is to give it a test run. So what I mean by that is you could say, listen, I think you're the right fit. This is after we've done some vetting. I think you're the right fit. I think, you know, I would love for you to come on. I know you're a little nervous about committing this whole year. Why don't we get a 3-month trial? Why don't we commit for 3 months and then we get back together after 3 months and we have a check-in and you tell me how you think it's going. I'll tell you how I think it's going and we can see, is this something we both want to continue moving forward with? So you want to give people freedom to not, to be able to all say, you know what, this isn't what I expected. It's more than I can handle. It's, I'm just not ready to commit fully to this. Let them do that. So some questions you could ask at check-ins. I think I have this. You know, do you feel excited, engaged in the mission of TFI? It's a good question for check-in. These are good questions for all of your team, not just a trial run, for all your team. Do you feel your gifts and talents are being used here? And what can I do to help you feel successful? So we had a gal who joined our team, Mary. Her name's Mary, and awesome and so faithful. And there was a time, you know, the ministry, the national ministry is growing rapidly, and my local team is kind of like not doing very well. We're struggling along. We were trying to be wrap two communities together, Bloomington and Peoria, which are 45 minutes away from each other. So our whole team was working together, and we were very disconnected. It was like, we meet in Bloomington 1 month, we meet in Peoria 1 month, and everyone had their specific role, but we weren't working together as a team. It was like, I'm the journey bag coordinator, and that's all I focus on is journey bags, and I'm the mentoring person, that's all I focus on is mentoring, and we weren't working together. And so we kind of went a time that we said, okay, Peoria and Bloomington, we're going to separate because it's just kind of silly. We're too far away from me. And so, and that was a good thing. We all agreed on that. So then our team went from 6 to 3 and 30. And then we lost a few more people. And so it was just me and Mary. And Mary was supposed to be doing family serving families. And we were just not getting that off. We were not able to keep it moving. And she was not being engaged or utilized at all. And she's like a great, great gal. And I would ask her, and I knew that she wasn't being utilized. And I was struggling with that. And I didn't know how to utilize her because I was kind of stressed myself. And she said, you know, I've committed a year. And I'm going to stick it out for the year. And I would ask her, I know, it's hard, isn't it? Like, I even had him do a survey, or I just asked him questions, like, are you feeling these kind of questions? Are you feeling used? She wasn't really feeling utilized, and it was kind of discouraging. It wasn't what she had hoped or expected. But she was willing to stick it out for the year. And all of a sudden, we've made this turn, and now we're moving again. And she is so excited and so engaged. And I just thanked her for sticking through it with me. Because honestly, it was just me and her in that local stuff for a while in this season. So you let people know, but then talk to them. Even when it's not going well, keep that line of communication open. And I do think that's a big part of why she stayed too, is that we were at least talking about, she knew I realized that things weren't great right now. You're not being utilized. We can get better. We want to go better. This is where we're going, but we're just not quite there yet. At this check-in, it's also a time to let them know what you've seen in them. And it's important to be honest. Encourage them, share any concerns you have, be upfront, be real, be genuine. Okay. So what happens when your team member doesn't seem to fit the culture? Or seem to be, let's not even say the culture yet, let's say just the right fit in general. What happens if they don't seem to be the right fit? Some questions to ask and discuss with them first is, okay, something to think about. Is this a commitment issue on their part? Are they just not showing up to those, what you laid out as expectations? Is this a moral issue? Is it a gifting or capability issue? Are they just not really able to do what you've asked them to do? How can you get them more engaged or have more buy-in? You always want to look at yourself as a leader first. Okay, what is it that I need to change to get them more engaged first? It's not just them. They're not the problem. You are. It always starts with the leader. We've got to think about ourselves first. What have I done or not done to get them engaged, to get them buy-in? How can I help them to have more buy-in? Are there any other roles on this team that would just be a better fit? Maybe they're in the first response role, but we really need someone who's kind of a go-getter and get out there and, you know, recruit people and talk to people. And maybe they need to be more in a support role, like a mentor support, where they're talking relationship and there it's more of a consistent role. And so there's different ways to utilize people. So always check on that first. Before, if things aren't seeming right, you might feel that tension. You're probably going to feel tension when things don't seem to be fitting right. But it might not be a bad thing. It might just be they're just not quite in the right spot on the team yet. Or you just need to talk to them and have a real conversation. Look, this is what we set up at the beginning. This is what I'm seeing. Can you help me understand, you know, where the disconnect is? But what happens when your team member is damaging to the overall culture of your team? What happens when they become a poison to your team and the culture? Whether that's a level of commitment, lack of dependability, or not representing TFI in a way that aligns with our core values, which are what? Honor God, grow through service,
celebrate.
Very good. So how do you fire a volunteer? So you need to start by praying and examining your own heart. Is there anything you need to repent of? Is there anything you need to take ownership over? I mean, certainly there's something that, you know, whether it be, okay, I just didn't vet them enough, or it doesn't always mean you just fail. Sometimes you can do as much vetting of people, and sometimes you still get people on there who all of a sudden you're like, they are not a right fit. This is becoming a poison. And that, it takes too much energy for you. It affects the rest of the team. It affects the ministry. and you got to get rid of that poison. You want to try as much as possible. I saw this on the internet somewhere. I have no idea who said it. So to make it a caring confrontation, right? Make it a caring confrontation. Schedule a time to meet in person with them. This is the nitty-gritty, painful, difficult stuff of leadership that you all have signed up for. Schedule time to meet with them in person. Something I found is it's nice to give them a heads up through email. Listen, I want to meet with you. This is just, let them know it's not just a happy coffee date, you know, but you don't have to lay it all out there in the email, but if you can just give them a taste of, there's a few things we need to talk about, or so they're coming in with just a little sense of preparation as much as possible. And you want to take the biblical approach, okay? So we have a slide. It's a long verse, but I'm going to read it. If a believer sins against you, if your brother and sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen, even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or tax collector. Okay, the point of this is go to them first. Talk to them. Give them the opportunity to hear it directly from you, not from somebody else that you've told about your frustration, and then they've heard it. And I want to say, too, I've done this right, I've done this wrong. Okay, so you got to give yourself grace, too. If you had to deal with this and you haven't done it exactly right, we want to do it right. Sometimes we mess up, okay? And we need to own that as well. But this is the ideal. So talk to them first. Give them the opportunity to change. Let them know maybe they truly don't know. Maybe they truly don't see themselves. Let them know what you're seeing and your concerns. Give them opportunities to change. Say, let's reconnect after a month. You know, this is what I'm seeing. You don't want to let it just go on, indefinitely. But let's reconnect after a month and talk through this. And just to remember, this is humbling for them. It's hard for you. Even though they're a volunteer, it's very humbling to say, okay, we're asking you to step away. We're asking, uninviting you to be on the team. But in leadership, there's hard conversations. Be above reproach in this time. Something I want you to expect is that no matter how perfectly you do this, likely people will talk. Likely they will defame your name. Likely they might try to defame your reputation. They will gossip. Not always, but likely. Okay? My challenge to you, don't play those games. Do not do that back to them, about them. Be above reproach. Say, God, I'm yours. You know my heart. You know my sinful heart. You also know my motives in this. And I'm going to trust you. And they're saying stuff. That's the hardest thing in the world. That's been the hardest thing in the world for me, is to have my character defamed. And you want to tell people, no, this is not you. This is what really happened. Mm-hmm. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's a messy, messy place to be. No matter how well you do this, they may talk. They likely will gossip because they're hurt. And we react when we're hurt. It doesn't make it wrong, though. Take it to the next slide. Again, this is something I have on my mirror from experience of being through this. Because when the moments when your name is defamed, or your character, your reputation, or you feel like people don't understand where you were, where you came from, for me, it's been very easy to allow Satan to say, yeah, you are a monster. You are what they say you are. You knew better. You could have done this. What's your problem? Who are you? And so I had this on my mirror. I was not appointed by any group of people or any human authority, but by Jesus Christ himself. who raised Jesus Christ himself, by God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. And then in Galatians 1:10, it says, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Live in freedom. I have to look at that still often. It's right on my mirror. And it will just keep retaking it when it starts to fall down. Pleasing people is not our goal. Pleasing Christ is our goal. In leadership, you're going to not be understood always. And it's okay. It's okay. You have one audience. It's the audience of one. It's Christ. He knows you. People can think whatever they want. Let it go. Keep your eyes on Jesus and on your mission. That's what I feel like God has just given me. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Again, with my safe people around me. Not everyone gets the right to speak into your life. I've had to learn that as well. Mm-hmm. Not everybody gets that right. So keep your eyes on Jesus. Have your people around you who you know are going to call you out. And you can trust them to call you out. You can't trust everybody, unfortunately. Keep your eyes on the mission and keep walking. That's what Jesus did. That's what he did when he was being beat, when he was being defamed, when his character was being mocked and his reputation. He kept his eyes on the Father and he kept walking on that mission. We are here to talk with you when you go through this stuff. Use us as your sounding board. Use us as the bad guy if you need to. I'm sorry, but they tell us we can't have you on if you're on this, if you don't agree. I mean, I don't care. Use us, okay, as a sounding board. We will pray for you. We will lift up your arms. We will be in this with you because it's hard. It touches us at the core. So we had talked about recruiting. We talked about vetting. We talked about firing. How now to create a healthy team? We'll finish with this. We want to keep the bigger picture in mind. So now, okay, you have the people on your team. You want to keep them, right? And you want to grow a healthy team culture. It's important that everyone has a specific role to play, but they're all invested in the bigger picture. That's what I learned kind of from when we were all like silos. Everyone had their one specific role, but it was like, I almost felt bad. It was like, okay, you're the journey bag coordinator. I don't want to ask you to help with this luncheon because you're already doing that, and I appreciate it so much that you're doing that. So I don't want to ask you. No, if you have those people, they want to be invested. So try not to unique. They all want a specific role, but get them involved. Keep your KRA in front of you. You know, when you make those KRAs, your key results areas with Jillian, keep that in front of you. What's your goal? Make them with your team. Bring your team in on that, on making those goals. How are we going to support our agencies? How are we going to engage more churches and build those church relationships? How are we going to grow our team? Those are your three goals. Agency, church, team. How are we going to do that? Keep it in front of you. Literally, like, have it at your meeting on a piece of paper. In our leadership team meetings, we have our blueprint. Every quarter we get together and we dream and talk about our main areas, growing our serving advocates, recruiting more advocates, serving and growing a national awareness platform, and getting money to do it all. So we have goals under each of those things, and we keep that right there with us. Every week we're reporting on, okay, where are you at with that? Where are we at with that? Because we've got a quarter to accomplish these things. Keep it in front of you. Share the muse. Share the monthly updates with them. I sometimes forget to share the monthly updates with my local team, and so I try to just forward it right on after we do it because I forget to tell them the things that I just told you all. So just share that. Let them watch it. You know, share it with them. Then they hear the core values. They keep it in front of them as well. Share the core values with them. You know, quiz them. Quiz them on the values. I do this at our advisory board meetings. Before they start, I always have a quiz. They have to do all the core values. Now they've learned to study before they come. The TAC meetings. You can have different types of meetings. This is something we've learned, and it's another book by Patrick Lencioni called Death by Meeting. And he just talks about how meetings can be just horrible, right? So let's talk about ways to make meetings more intentional. So for us, we have a weekly tactical meeting where we have very specific, everyone sends their agenda items in before, all of that. I haven't even extended that intensity to the local team because there are some ways you want to kind of tweak things sometimes. But we do talk about tactical items. Tactical items can be solved in 5 minutes or less. So strategic items is when you want to grow and talk about for an hour or two, you know, about something. So have specific TAC meetings with your local team, and then say maybe there's something you guys want to do together, like a luncheon for foster care workers. Okay, we're going to have a strategic meeting next time. We're just going to really focus on that for an hour or two. And something, this meeting agenda I'm just showing you is just very plain and simple, but this is just a sample of what I do with my local team. So it's nothing fancy. It's literally just what we walk through. So you're going to get this. We reconnect. We talk first about how you doing personally. What are some personal prayer requests and celebrations you can get, or ministry celebrations? What are our core values? We might talk about one. How are you doing in honoring God this week? What are some updates? What are some national updates that I want to share with you? Do you have anything to track for me? Do you have anything to track? And let's talk about our KRA, and that might happen later on in the strategic. So anyway, you can look at that and kind of make it your own. Okay, know your team. I forget if we, oh yeah, know your team. So find out the strengths of your team. Something I love is strengths finders. It does cost like $10, but for the test, it's like a 30-minute test. But it's really great to know kind of what strengths they bring. And you don't have to take the test to do this, but just kind of talk with them and explore what are their strengths. Ask the tough questions. Are you feeling utilized here? Is it too much? Are you happy? You know, is it what you expected? Know them and know what's going on in their lives, their personal lives. These are your people. You know, let them know you care about them. They're not just here to do a task for you. You care about them. How is that going with your son? I know that's been hard. You know, we have been praying for you. All that. Know your people. Serve together. Okay, this part of knowing your team. Serve together as a team, not just in those meetings and coordinating things, but we have found it truly helpful. We reorganized a DCFS storage room. And so we all did that together. It was a team building activity, but it just needed to be done. And we found it's not something we really wanted to delegate out to others. We needed to do this. So our relationship, we're going to do that at another agency in our community. So serve together. Take some time off from the sitting down and talking strategy and talking tactical and updates, and just go serve together. Worker appreciation, you know, serve together at those luncheons that you're hosting together. Do it together. As we serve together, we grow together. And also have fun together. We try to do a Christmas party, and it's just something simple. You know, come over, bring your husbands, bring your kids, whatever, or don't. Don't bring your kids. But just, again, just let them know you are in this with them, and they are not just a pawn to tell them what to do. They're a part of this. Give them freedom in, you know, here's first response. This is the parameters, but make it your own. You know, give them that freedom to be a leader and to grow in that. Be willing to change. Okay, so in our area, I had to learn that even though TFI started here and I wanted to have everything going so strong, that we were not able to do family serving families for a time. We started it, and listening to my team helped me see at this point we don't have the margin and the manpower to keep doing family serving families right now. So we're shutting down that in our area, and we're going to focus a lot on mentoring. And once we get that up and going and we have manpower, we can do that. And that's what they told me, you know, because I'm going, we have to do this and this and this. So be willing to listen to your team and be willing to be flexible and change. And it's not fun to pull back on things, but it's important. And then make it personal, which is actually kind of what I already talked about in Know Your Team, the knowing who they are. So I don't really need to say more about that. So, in conclusion, leadership is a tricky business. It's not for the faint of heart. Our role is to be a servant leader. It's not about us just telling people what to do. And when you step into leadership, you're investing yourself in other people's lives, you're making yourself vulnerable. You have to have tough conversations. You're a steward of this role that God has called you to, that God has called you to. No one else has called you to this. You came because God put a call in your heart to advocate and to be a leader. Keep your eyes on Jesus and on the mission. And I promise you, he will do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. And the glory goes to him. Amen?
Amen.
Let's just say a prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for being with us this week, these days, and for just the people in this room, Lord. I am so blessed that they are my people. Lord, give them your wisdom. Give them your clear focus. Help them to know where to go. Walk before them and follow them from behind. Be with them when they know they have a tough conversation to have, Lord. Pray often, Lord, for a soft heart, but we also need tough skin. So, Lord, help us not to get jaded in leadership. Help us to have a soft heart and tough skin. Just lead us on, Lord. Bless each one here and help them to know that you are for them, that you see them, and you're proud of them. Jesus, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.